large institutions like B of A. And this is a dollar-for-dollar write-off, right off their tax bottom line that they exchange. Then what they tell appraisers is, at the expiration of that 15-year term for those low-income housing tax credits, that the building, the structure itself, is worth zero. And that it then goes for nothing to the low-income housing tax low-income housing provider, that the appraiser is supposed to value it at zero. And these are things that you need to be on the lookout for, because what you're doing is you're doing social engineering in your town, and it's being and you're paying for it. Is this redistribution of youth? I wish it wasn't youth of wealth. Yeah, it is. You know, this is what you're doing. You're transferring, and you know, look. I mean, think about this. It's like a spiral. We're recirculating a smaller and smaller and smaller amount of money all the time on the backs of the few people who are actually still generating taxes. And, you know, so one thing also I'd like to say, you know, you said that, your people have not heard of Agenda 21. Ask them if they've heard of sustainable development, because that's what they call it. They don't call it Agenda 21, and I hope you recognize that that is what it's called. It's the agenda for the 21st century, and that, you know, this whole thing about the, you know, tinfoil hat thing is really, that is just, it's so yesterday.
Yeah. Right, one last question.
Yes, please.
And it is somewhat personal.
Oh, okay.
I believe we're all Republicans here. I can't speak. I don't know if we're all here, but you mentioned that you're a liberal Democrat.
Yes, I am.
I understand that from Southern California, that's really probably the only party. But when you look at all of these issues, mm-hmm. and the genesis uh-huh. of these issues, short of H.W. and his bringing in Agenda 21, mm-hmm. these were all Democratic initiatives.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. This is what's really interesting about this. I've been a Democrat since 1974. I'm originally from Southern California, but I do live in Northern California now. And this is not, just limited to Democrats. What you're seeing is, you know, of course, now I think people are becoming more aware, and you know, the party that's out is going to be a little more, hammering on, hey, we're not into redistribution of wealth, right? But these plans, these programs, were pushed by both Bushes, and you'll find, you know, I don't know, I haven't carefully looked into Romney, but I would say that he will, you know, probably be a supporter of United Nations Agenda 21 in many of the aspects of it. And in fact, you know, I am a liberal Democrat. I'm a classical liberal. And I do understand, unlike most Democrats, that the Democratic Party has been hijacked, that we are not looking at the Democratic Party now. Now, it's not illegal to be a socialist in the United States. But I think if you are a socialist, you should put that after your name instead of a D. And we're not seeing that. And I say, don't be a Nazi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Following up a little bit on the presidents, whether they be or were Democrats or Republicans, one would like to think that they all have the best interests of this country in mind. Why would they sign on to something like that?
Well, you're talking about global governance here, and it's very difficult for us to even comprehend why anyone would want to participate in that. Now, why would a nation want to give up its sovereignty? Why would you want to have the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Why would you want to have the North American Partnership? The EU started as a trade agreement. The idea that a country would give up its sovereignty is antithetical to a free nation. And all I can say is that in researching this, what I have seen is that there are people who consider themselves part of the elite, who think that they will be running this. They will, and I don't care if there's some joker living next door to you. These are people who really have an elevated sense of themselves, whether they're being patted on the back and put on a board or a commission, or elected to a position, or told that, yes, you're going to have, you know, you will be rewarded. But there is obviously something in it.
But just a follow-up, please.
Yes.
For the most part, all of the presidents involved in this, at least, were relatively, actually quite intelligent. And they knew that if they were one of the elite you'd speak about, they were intelligent enough to understand that they would never be one of them because this project is too large, it would take too long. Mm-hmm. And they, and it certainly would not become, one would think, part of their legacy either. Mm-hmm. So what do they have to gain?
I know this, you know, the, okay, well, you know what you're seeing here, you do know.
Yes,
you
know. George Soros, how many billions will he have? It's about power.
It is. Definitely.
Power over others. It has nothing to do with equality. Mm-hmm. If there's people that once they get there and they can manipulate and they feel in total control, that's what gets them going.
Well, I hear your question. And what you're talking about is the time frame. You're talking about, here's something that takes a long time. We're talking about something that has actually been in progress for a long time, and the end date is about 2050. This is what they're looking at, is to roll this whole thing up by 2050. And what, you know, if you're looking at individuals who achieve personal power during that time period, who are personally enriched and personally feel that they are part of that group while they're alive, and that is their legacy, to continue that essential, you know, strata. This is what we're having. We are falling deeper and deeper into poverty as a nation. But those who are very wealthy are getting wealthier. And that is what we're seeing as well, is that, you know, the concept of power, those who are in power want to keep it, and those who are out of power want to get it. And this is definitely a power grab. Yes.
I have three points that I want to bring up on that same topic. One, where were most of these people educated, Republican or Democrat, at elite universities?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Two, I have, since NAFTA was passed with George Bush I, I was a huge detractor opposed to that. What has the quality of life in the United States done since we entered this free trade agreement? What has it done for the elites, the Yales and the Harvards, versus what has it done for our blue-collar workers? And three, and I'm going to leave in this point and not stress it too much, but power corrupts certain individuals, and we don't have to look too far outside of our legislature to see how true that can be.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who get in power cannot handle it, and they start thinking of themselves as bigger than the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And the way our presidents are marketed and the way our presidents are handled and this and that, I submit that we don't really know who our presidents are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree with you, and I agree with all of your points, because this is these elite universities. You know, we're seeing outcome-based education in our school systems and in our universities, but in Yale and Harvard, and a lot of this comes out of a lot of this does come out of Yale and Harvard. In fact, let me just say this really quickly: is that Yale, Mary Evelyn Tucker, who is, I think she's chair of the School of Forestry and Religion or something like that. She gave a speech at the University of Oregon where she was saying that churches will need to get on board with the ecological model or disappear. There is a sense that the earth, the Gaia, is supreme. And it goes beyond what we, you know, what we can conceive of. When you're talking about the fact that if you have mining, you have granite mining here, you're destroying, you're scratching the earth, you're injuring the earth by doing mining. This is the philosophy. And this is an academic philosophy, a lot of it. These are not people who are farmers. They're not people who are miners. They're not people who are working, who are living. These are people, this is also how they can say to people who are urban, who live in cities, We're losing our farmland.
Yeah.
For crying out loud, you know, you go across this country in a plane, what are you looking at? An agricultural nation. If you drive out of here without your cell phone and you go off the road, it may be months before they find your skeleton.
Fly over New Hampshire,
right?
It's all woods.
That's it. So the reality is that we are looking at people who are going to get packed more and more into cities, who are going to believe that everything in the world looks just like what they're looking out the window at. And this is part of this plan, is to manufacture this consensus and actually destroy what it is to have, you know, a representative government. Go ahead.
I would just say about that last topic that it costs an awful lot of money to run for office.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get that money from the big money interests, they vet you in advance. So, you cannot run for office without huge amounts of money, and you're not going to get it if you're not on their side. That's all I have to say about that. But I would like to get back to New Hampshire. Because I happened to look the up just a couple of days ago, a map of the eastern half of the United States with the drone bases. And you brought up the drones, the little drones and everything. One of those drone bases is in New Hampshire, according to this map. And the map also had future drone bases in the whole that area of the country that I was looking at on map. But then now to get back to our land use, where I live, the Quabbin to Cadogan Wildlife Corridor is one of the red, if you see the map of the United States, unhappily it's not big enough usually to show real close, but there's a little section that's red that goes starts in Massachusetts and goes up to approximately Cadogan that's red. And on the map, red is little or no people.
Right.
And so...
That's Dr. Michael Kaufman's map.
Right, of yes.
What the Biodiversity Treaty would have done to the United States, but they're in fact implementing that through policy.
Right, they are. And also, just was it a week ago? No, a couple of weeks ago, I guess. The rivers, they designated the Connecticut River as one of the first blueways.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This is something new. Blueways. Blueways,
yes.
Greenways.
What's a blueway?
These are rivers. There's more and more and more restrictions on what you can do along these. You know, these are protected. They're just like your scenic byway, where they tell you, oh, we're not really going to impact your uses there. What you can do along that in that area will be restricted, as long as, you know, whether you want to get your federal dollars or state dollars or assistance in maintaining that.
I thought the state owned all the waterways in the state. You're saying that we'll lose federal money if you don't?
Well, yeah, it's all through the carrot, the money issue, is how they get you hooked in, and then you sign agreements. Sign documents and
contracts.
I know what your bills are going to look like next year.
Well, they were in this session.
Rosa, thank you for what you're doing. I heard you on the radio, got your book. I've read it twice. I need to read it 4 or 5 more times. It's extremely well written.
Thank you.
I got here late, so I don't know whether you spoke about this, but do you understand how industrial scale commercial wind projects that are massively trying to come into Vermont right now? I drove down from the Northeast Kingdom north of Vermont today, and we're fighting a massive wind project that wants to be on Mudder Bridge near a lot of people's homes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand how that fits into Agenda 21? Mm-hmm.
That's definitely part of Agenda 21. What you have, of course, is you've got, first of all, part of demolition of dams, the water dams getting demolished all over the United States, and they are. Thousands of dams are being demolished. These are hydroelectric dams that are being demolished that generate clean energy. You're also, you've got natural gas. We just found all these natural gas reserves. But you're finding that if you look at your climate action plans, they are actually planning to phase out gas appliances. Not just appliances, but furnaces as well, so that they will be more easily able to restrict your usage and control. Now, with turbines, of course, in California, we have turbines. They're extremely expensive. They do kill wildlife. They kill birds. You still need all your distribution lines. It's very expensive to run these. And then a lot of times they're not producing. Same thing with solar. Very expensive to produce. Well, that's the other thing that Siemens is involved with, is solar. These are your alternative energy generators, your clean generators of energy. One thing that you're going to see is that these subsidies do not compensate for, you're talking about, talk about viewsheds. Talk about intrinsic value. Talk about impacts. If you're driving through California and you see these, it's quite a visual impact. It really feels like you're on another planet or something when you're seeing these. So what you need to know is that the design for this, the plan for this, is to move us to energy that is produced, it's electricity. so that we are not using gas. Because gas is cheap, and gas is more difficult to regulate.
It's clean.
And it's clean. And it's here.
Right.
And we have distribution for it. And this is about sinking our economy and restricting our ability to be independent.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is something that's not very new to New Hampshire. We have RSA 9B colon 2 says, it shall be the policy of the state of New Hampshire that state agencies act in ways that encourage smart growth. That was passed in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 12 years old.
Yeah.
That's got to go.
There you go. That's right. You'll find those all over the United States. All this is in your law. That's right. I'll come back and have a big party with you when you get rid of that.
That's easy.
Go ahead.
One of the topics that came up in Nashua recently was the International Baccalaureate.
Oh, yes.
I've never heard of that. Is that part of this?
Yes, it is. Yes. In fact, you know, you might think, what if she got this on her brain or something? You're going to look long and hard for something that is not part of United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. Yes, the International Baccalaureate is part of the United Nations Agenda 21, Global Governance. It's about teaching you to be a global citizen. That is the purpose of it. You are not a citizen of the United States with duties to your country. You are a global citizen. And that is the whole goal of that. Go ahead.
When I was in a meeting, everyone was kind of looking at you like you're crazy. But what the people do understand is, I said, 85% of you are going to be eliminated. Who wants to live? And that kind of opens it up, because they will control who lives and who dies, depending on how you, what you're going to give to the community.
Well, you know, I don't go there because, I mean, that's cool. You know, I welcome you to do that. I don't, because I'm talking about actual documents and laws that are on our books right now that we can do something about. And, you know, when we're talking about going along to get along, when we're talking about turning in your neighbor, when you're talking about restricting and reducing your income to the point, and your food, your access to food, to the point where who knows what you'll be willing to do, these are fertile areas for speculation. And certainly there has been plenty of them. And I'd like to just tell you one thing that I forgot to mention that's very important, and that is your transit villages. We're talking about food sheds. Now, you know about view sheds, right? You know about watersheds, food sheds. Think about this. You got your town. Are we in Concord?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say we're in Concord.
I hope so. Yeah.
I hardly know where I am anymore. Okay, so we're in Concord. Then, let's just say we've got our smart growth here. You've got beautiful buildings, but let's just say we're going to have a whole bunch of infill. We're going to have our 10, 12, 14-story buildings, smart growth buildings, right here in the center of Concord. Then, of course, people have been moved out of the wildland areas through restrictions, monitoring of their wells, pulverization of their roads, closure of their schools and their post offices. So they're out of there. Now, how many people can live in a transit village? It's determined by your food shed, which is ringing your city. It's a green area ringing your city, and it is where your food is grown. You like bananas? Too bad, you're not growing them here in New Hampshire. You're gonna eat what grows here. And the number of people, now you're saying, oh, this sounds crazy. I'll tell you in a minute how you can check this out. It is crazy, stuff's all crazy. Okay, so let's just say you've got a 25-mile ring around Concord, and that's where your food is grown. The number of people that can live in this area is determined by the number of calories that can be grown in that 25-mile food shed area. And if you go to Cornell University, put that Cornell University and food sheds in your search browser, and you will see that this is exactly what they're talking about. They are talking about locavore. Have you heard that term, locavore,
yes,
where you're
yes.
eating locally? All this stuff all sounds so good, right? You're going to, who doesn't want to support your local? What you're going to see is that those organic farmers are not going to stay in business. They cannot stay in business. We're talking about mega farms. We're talking about rings around our transit villages, formerly called Concord, Transit Village number 12 in New Hampshire. And you've got your ring of your calorie producing, and that's what you're going to be eating. And I'll tell you what, if you're a dissenter, you're making trouble, you look like a troublemaker to me, you're going to be, you may not be able to get your full allotment of your calorie. Now, that's total speculation. I'm making that up. Go ahead.
I could lose a few calories. Can a local food chain be other than an area that's growing food and be controlled by a food market, such as a supermarket? And what I'm referring to is that exactly what you've been talking about. I'm a vice chairman of the planning board. I'm a little bit nervous about the regional planning. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a lot of what I've already seen coming at us, and I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But across from where my town is, there is exactly what you're saying. It's probably about 50, 55 acres.
Mm-hmm.
It's a village of the 21st century.
Okay.
It's a $1 billion project. It's all mixed-use, commercial, no vehicles, all walking. I just come back from Poland.
Take me to it. I want to see it.
3 weeks out in Poland and saw what they were doing out there. My son was in Riga, Latvia, for 8 months. Know exactly what's happening out there.
All right.
And I came here today not knowing what Agenda 21 was.
Mm-hmm.
And now I realize the last year and a half, it's been fed to me.
Yeah.
And it's opened my eyes to do some more research and some serious concerns, because we're right now trying to rezone our whole town.
There you go. Yeah, you're going to see. Well, you're going to see mixed use, transit village.
The regional planning divisions are feeding us the information. Oh, we'll do it for you.
There you go.
You don't have time. And
that's
then they give it to you on a platter.
That's right.
And so I get some concerns with that.
Thank you.
Quick follow-up.
Yes.
Is food synonymous with collective farm?
The question is, who is going to be doing that farming? You know, that was a very good question. You know, whether it's going to be the people who live in the village or whether it's just going to be a mega farm. You know, you have to ask yourself, what are we going to be doing in those villages? And that kind of goes, you know, to that, you know, like, who needs the people when you're doing everything, you know, when you've got major technocracy. But, yeah, you know, collective farm. But I have, another website. I have two websites, three actually, but one is Democrats Against UN Agenda21.com. The other one is postsustainabilityinstitute.org. Sorry. And on that one, I kind of speculate on what could happen. And one is that it'll be a lot cheaper to have those human beings doing the work than machines, because what else are they doing? So. Yeah.
Just a couple comments. I saw in the paper last week that the UN has declared obesity as an ecological threat.
Yeah.
And, New Hampshire does have a wildlands project. It's called the DES Wildlife Project, and they have mapped every single town in New Hampshire. You go on their website, you go in the wildlife, and every section of your town has been redded out or greened out or whatever. Secondly, New Hampshire does have a climate action program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based off of the UN 2007 IPCC report, which turned into ClimateGate,
yeah,
where they basically fudged their numbers in order to get to their end.
Mm-hmm.
And even though New Hampshire is well aware that all the scientific basis for the climate action program that they have that was released in 2009 is based on falsified data, they have continued to implement the climate action plan through the Sustainable Communities Initiative.
I know, when you think about that, it's like, when you know something's wrong, this is cognitive dissonance. You know something's wrong, you know that what you believe is wrong, but you continue to do it anyway. And somehow you have to make yourself right. So that's why you have this incredible, incredible abalone-like grip on this stuff. It's very hard for people to let go of this. We have to be compassionate towards people who have grown up in this, who believe it almost like a religion. Because it's very hard to recognize that what you've been believing and supporting is a lie. And we all have to be compassionate towards people, but we also have to be, you know, we also have to give them that information. And people who are elected to office, or people who are running, are, if I was in a position of power, it'd be so fabulous, but if I were, and I was able to fire anyone who was an at-will employee, who is involved in implementing these plans, I would do so immediately. And I would go to my constituents. Here's something else I wanted to say to you, because you are elected officials, and that is that it's very difficult to refuse money and to justify it to your constituents. But I have seen your state a little bit and your people, and I think that you, if you stood up and you said to your constituents, we have a choice here. We can take this money and we can lose our freedom, or we can refuse it and struggle along without it. Are you with me? And I think that you'll find that your people are going to be with you if they understand what's going on.
Two points, please. First of all, we did that already with Obamacare.
Okay.
The government could take $1 million and do something else with it. The thing that you haven't touched on, and maybe you thought of right about that, is that if you concentrate a population, you have maximized the risk of death through natural causes.
Absolutely.
And diseases by a factor of who knows what. I can't predict that, but there has to be some concern, even by those who doubt this, that if it were to come about, that just natural causes, meaning what was it back in England,
the black plague.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It would be so much easier to.
We are so much more vulnerable.
Exactly.
Completely agree with you. And of course, I do have that in my book. You know, it's,
all right.
I mean, you know, all you have to do is infect one doorknob, right? You've got, you know, how about think about this? You know, you just lock one door and you got everybody in there. Oh, isn't it convenient? You got the train line real close by. Yes, obviously not just illness like that, but mental illness. When you are crowding people together densely, you're going to have more crime, you're going to have more, you're going to have unemployed and underemployed people together, stressed. You're going to have children, young children. Now this is about not having private space. No individual is going to have private space. Everything you're going to do is going to be out in public. And, you know, children, they talk about, well, first of all, there aren't going to be that many children, is the plan. And, you know, when you think about this, I mean, obviously, most of us, and most of the groups that I go to speak with are my age or older. We're past the childbearing years. And when you see that the plan is actually, you could walk through kindergarten or elementary school, you're going to see Agenda 21 Sustainable Development in every classroom. You're going to see their little drawings and all of that. These are people who have accepted this from the time they were small children. So when you tell them that you're going to be living in a small apartment with, you know, 100 other families, they think they're saving the planet. But this is, in fact, really a dangerous plan, just in the most practical sense of being able to, from a security standpoint for our nation, look how easy it would be to take out the population of our country with just a few megacities. I completely agree with you. Any other questions? Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I told you weren't going to be bored. I mean, Rosa has really captivated everybody that she's spoken to, and I think that all of us need to take a step back and realize that everything she spoke about today is factual. Everything. You can go find it on your own, and you should. All right, this isn't a Republican-Democrat thing at all. It is an American thing. It is about the loss of our sovereignty, our liberty, and our freedom. And that is the most important thing. I'm right here. I got Rose's book. Let me tell you, I've read it. I'm halfway through the second time. Every one of you should grab one of these. They're here. We have them in the back. They're $17 a piece. This is the best book that you're going to get for the buck for $17. And buy a few of them, give them out to some of your friends, because as far as I'm concerned, if you read, well, you're going to be like me, you're going to read this more than once, because it's so packed with information. But it's a great read. It's going to give you a lot more information than you probably have researched already, and it'll give you research opportunities. So please, get on board with this. My pack is going to stay focused on this
And I know Rose is going to continue to travel the country and let everybody know about this. Ken, back in the corner back there, from Wyndham, Ken Iron, he has already been through this in Wyndham. They actually, after all of the testimony they gave, which I think everybody voted talked against this, they voted in favor of a 3-2 recently. So that fight isn't over yet. But his website is on the green sheets, the little green sherbet-looking sheets you have there. He's also doing a lot of research with his partner, and you heard her speak for a little while today. Our site has some as well. There's a wealth of information out there. You all know how to use computers and Google. It's all there for you. This is an awakening, and it's a wake-up call for all of you. And the way I feel we have to solve this issue in New Hampshire is we have to legislatively kill it. I already know that the House reps have put forth legislation, and it got killed in the Senate. Well, we're going to be after the Senate. It's unacceptable. If you're an American, and I mean this, and you're in our Senate, and you're not on board with this, watch out. Watch out, because this is critically important. You're giving up our sovereignty. You need to pay attention, because once you do, you won't stop. Once I got on board, I have been salivating ever since to find more and more information. So thank you very much, Rosa. Thank this was you. A wonderful presentation. Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
I'd yes? like to say one thing about the Senate. One of the senators whose bill we attached the amendment to that would have banned Nickley in New Hampshire told me, I kept trying to get him to read the information, and he said, it doesn't matter, good or bad, it's local control. And I said, it is unconstitutional.
It is.
And he said, oh no.
Yep. So. All right, thank you all for coming. Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day.